Turn in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15. You remember last week that we looked at the first 9 verses of this passage and said that we all could get busy starting to work on the fruit of the Spirit, the most important of which is love. And so we continue on in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Father in heaven, the words could not be clearer. They could not be more concise. And so, Lord, as we honor our moms today, we pray that the love that you want all of us to have, that we see from so many of our moms, would be evident in our lives as we've received it from you. Amen. Today, obviously, we honor our moms. Not everybody can be a mom, but everybody at some time in their life has a mom. And it's at that time, our mom was the most important person in our world. Some of us had moms who made great sacrifices on our behalf, and we're really profoundly grateful for that. And so today we honor our moms. It is not easy being a mom. Now, here are some examples of mothers and things that these mothers could have said. Mona Lisa's mother: after all that money your father and I spent on braces, Mona, that's the biggest smile you can give us. Humpty Dumpty's mother: Humpty, if I've told you once, I've told you 100 times not to sit on that wall. But would you listen to me? No. Christopher Columbus: I don't care what you've discovered, Christopher. You still could have written. Michelangelo's mother: Mike, can't you paint on the walls like other children? Do you have any idea how hard it is to get that stuff off the ceiling? Napoleon's mother: all right, Napoleon, if you aren't hiding your report card inside your jacket, then take your hand out of there right now and prove it. Jonah's mother: that's a nice story, but now tell me where you've really been for the last 3 days. Well, it's not easy being a mom. But here it is amazing that we look at John's Gospel, chapter 15. It could not be a more perfect passage as we celebrate Mother's Day. As the Father has loved me, Jesus writes, so have I loved you. Remain in my love, keep my commands, and if you do, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Don't have to spend too much time. Twice in the confines of a couple of verses, the fruit of the Spirit that we talked about last week is defined clearly as what we should do. It is seen not as an optional item, but as a command item, as something that is required. We love God because He first loved us. That's obviously the message for the day. But in this passage, I want to let you know that Jesus goes beyond the golden rule. You know the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Come on, just be nice. The golden rule says that. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, basically. But in this passage, I want to let you know that Jesus trumps the golden rule. He goes above and beyond the golden rule. We are not simply to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We are to love our neighbor as Jesus loves us. Let that sink in a little bit. We are to love other people the way Jesus loves us. That is a different standard. That is a more difficult standard. Some of us are having a hard time getting to the golden rule standard. Going to that next level is going to require some extra work. You see, for us, for we as human beings, there is a natural element. Love for us is almost always conditional, transient, and selective. That's just what typical love is. It's conditional, transient, selective. And so today we may love somebody because they're lovable or because they're lovable towards us. But then we withdraw our love when we feel wrong, when we feel cheated, and suddenly love is replaced. Boy, they say love and hate are really close to one another. Vengeance, when somebody has hurt us that loves us, is a profoundly difficult thing to watch. And just as damning, often we only love those people who are like us, who share our background, who share our status, who share our values. We're talented and gifted and dress appropriately. We like people like us. We don't like people that are not us. They are the them. They are the other. Whatever and however it is that we describe that, that is not right. And the fruit of the Spirit that is love ought to transform our thinking and change our mindset. The church ought to be the place where that kind of love is coming out. The church ought to be that kind of place where people say, yeah, I get it. Yes, that's the way it should be. Yes, I'd like to be like those people. They're leading the way. They're leading the charge. They're doing the right thing. Jesus' love is for everyone. Not everyone accepts it, but his love is for everyone. He loves everyone. Make no mistake about it. Jesus' love is sacrificial. Young lady has written for a magazine, and Valentine's Day was approaching, so she's a writer. Valentine's Day is coming, and she's given a task by her editor. She's asked to write a poem for the magazine. And her editor asks first, okay, let me just kind of prep you for this. He says, all right, before you do this assignment, answer this question. Tell me what you think love is. It's one of the questions before we went to all these standardized things that I'd ask people on the marriage questionnaire. They were actually written paragraphs that I'd have, and one of them is, what is love? I still have some of those answers going back from people that I married a long time ago, and I'll go back over and read them, and occasionally I'll send what they wrote 20 years ago in those counseling sessions back to them for them to look over what they themselves thought it was at the beginning. But she got starry-eyed when he asked her this, and she said, love, love, it's looking upon a lily pond with one, the one closest to your heart by the light of the moon while the lilies are in full bloom. That's what love is.
Stop! Stop, her editor said. Let me tell you what love is. It's getting out of a warm bed on a cold winter's night and filling hot water bottles for sick children. That's love. Now that sounds like the voice of experience too, but the editor was right. Love is sacrificial. Even though we may not feel we are sacrificing anything at the time, love is sacrificial. None of us, if we are emotionally healthy, love our children as we love ourselves. We love them far more than we love ourselves. The golden rule is insufficient. The golden rule is not enough for the relationship between a parent and a child. And if you love children, whether you are a mother of children or not, you understand that you love them more than you love yourself. That you do things and give up things. I remember my mom. She would give things up so that I could have something. The older I got, the more I knew how much she sacrificed so that I could have something. It's not that she didn't love herself. It's that she loved me so much she was willing to sacrifice so that she could love me. We love our children as Jesus loves them. Our love can never measure up to the agape love of God, that unbelievable love, because we're just mortal. We're just regular human beings. We love our children far more than we love ourselves, but I want to tell you what the real test of Christian love is as you go out there and you see Christian people. Can we love all God's children with a love that approximates the love we have for our own children? Here is the standard that we are being asked to meet. A standard that we can understand if we love children. If we have been a mother, if we have been a father, we understand that love. We understand that relationship. We understand it with our own children. But then, what we're finding here in the Bible is that we are to get to a place where we love everyone like we would love our own children. That is what Jesus is asking us to do. And that is a whole lot of effort. It'll take you a whole lifetime to just try to do it, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit that we spoke about last week, because He is the vine and we are the branches, is going to come from Jesus if we will let it come from Him. Winter morning. Winnipeg, Manitoba. You think it's bad in Valley Cottage. Well, Winnipeg, 2012. Bus driver, Chris Doubletree, 38, stops the bus. Unscheduled stop, busy street corner. The passengers watch the bus driver as he stops the bus, walks off the bus, gets out of the bus and approaches a man on the sidewalk who was barefoot. Doubletree asked the man if he had any shoes. The man said no. So the bus driver removed his own shoes and handed them to the man. Here, he said, you need these more than I do. And then the bus driver returned to his seat wearing no shoes and continued on to his route. So a passenger was kind of curious and said, why did you do that? And he explained that he'd seen the man standing there before and he just could not bear the thought that he didn't have any shoes. He couldn't go by him one more time, knowing that he didn't have shoes and he had some to give to him. You know, you want to know something? That is the kind of thing that Jesus would do. That's the kind of thing we'd look at and we'd say, Jesus did that. Wow, I should be more like Jesus. That is the sort of thing a follower of Jesus might do. After 2,000 years of Christian history, it should not be a radical thought. It should not be foreign to our thinking. It should not be so rare in our society. But it is. We claim to follow Jesus, but we have very feebly sought to live as Jesus commanded us to live. And what does He command? He commands us to love as He loves. He puts it in a single, solitary sentence twice in this passage. He says so clearly. Verse 17, this is my command. Love each other. Pretty simple. That's one for the refrigerator. Would fit there pretty easily. Verse 12, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. That's where I'm getting what I'm talking about today. I'm saying that the approximated love that we can experience that Jesus loves us with is with our children. The mother's love for a child, loving that child more than she loves herself. And then we go on to the level of Jesus who gave his life for us, and he's saying that's the kind of love that we need to have for one another. It goes beyond the golden rule standard. We see that kind of love sometimes in those who care for those who are in nursing homes, those who are dying, those who are aging. There was a beautiful story in Reader's Digest recently. It was written by a woman on Rhode Island. And she wrote that only three times in her whole life did she ever see her father cry. Three times. The first time she saw him cry was when she was seven. His mother, her grandmother, died. He cried. The second time she saw him cry was at the airport when her brother departed for Vietnam. And the third time she saw her father cry was when he was in his 80s. Her mother was in late stage Alzheimer's, residing in a nursing home. Her father had visited her mother, his much beloved wife, every day for 10 years, with the exception of 3 months. He broke his foot. He couldn't visit. 3 months. After his foot healed, he returned to the nursing home. He wanted to be there so badly. It had been such a long time since he'd seen his beloved wife. He said, "I thought Mother forgot me, but when she saw me, she smiled and said, 'I love you.'" And then his daughter said, her father sobbed. Some of you understand those tears. We know a little bit of what it means to love as Jesus loved. We love those closest to us like that. The question is, can we enlarge the circle of love? That is what Christ is asking us to do in this passage. Enlarge the circle of love. Allow that to be the fruit of the Spirit that people say, "Yes, I'm producing what Jesus wants me to produce. I'm being the fruit that Jesus wants me to be." Well, actually, there are two things about love that Jesus really commands us to do. I spoke about one of them. The first is to remain in his love. Verse 10, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." We find the power to love like Jesus commands us to love by doing that, by remaining in his love. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." Mark Buchanan tells about a time, and all of us could, tells about a time when he was having a real problem with somebody. He was struggling with his attitude sort of toward a certain man. And he had such resentment, he had such bitterness in his heart that there were times when he truly could admit that he hated the man. He hated him. And one day he was thinking horrible, no good, nasty thoughts about this man. And he heard his son come in the basement, slam the door, go to his room and start crying. So he's thinking terrible thoughts. His son comes into the basement, slams the door, goes to his room, starts crying. And so he goes to his son and says, "Son, what's going on?" Well, here's what happened. His son had been playing goalie in a game of road hockey with some of his school friends, and he let the other team score a rash of goals. His teammates started taunting him, started mocking him, started telling him he was useless, started telling him to go home. They even told him they'd stand a better chance with an empty net than with him guarding the net. Now, I gotta tell you, when your child is in pain, it is not something that you want to hear as a mom or a dad. And he got mad. He really got angry. He was, in fact, enraged. He started putting on his shoes to march down the road, to call those boys to account, to give them all a hard drubbing with his tongue. And it was then that he heard an inner voice, "Mark," God seemed to say, "where are you going?" "To straighten this matter out, Lord," Mark answered. "No one treats my son that way." "You have a father's heart," God said. "Yes, yes," Mark replied. "You hate it when someone hurts one of your children?" "Yes, yes," Mark said. "I hate that too," God said. And at that moment, Mark Buchanan says he understood in the most visceral way and for the very first time that he could not claim to love God and hate his brother. "If I love God," he writes, "I'll love what God loves. I'll love God's children, all of them. Or else, if I do not, I will break God's heart." Think about that. It makes you angry when someone threatens to hurt one of your children. Do you feel that same anger when your children are hurt? If not, then you have some growing to do spiritually. You see, do you get my point? We love our children. We don't want our children to be hurt. We react viscerally when someone hurts them. And yet, what are we doing when one of God's children, for all of us are that, are hated, abused, neglected, forgotten by the very people who have been called to love? We are to remain in Christ's love. We are to love each other as Christ loved us. Let me say it again. We love because Christ first loved us. You can't even approach thinking about this idea unless you know Jesus. Unless you understand that he gave his life on Calvary Street. He's got a standard, no question about it. He loves us, and that's how we're able to love others as he loves us. If we don't have his love in our hearts, we simply cannot love others that are outside our circle of intimate relationships. We simply don't have the power to love as Christ loved us unless we have Christ's Spirit in us. It's only then that we can fulfill his command to love others as he loved us. That is what the cross is all about. We see love poured out on the cross of Calvary. Kind of interesting. I found this fascinating. Ripley's Believe It or Not. The longest love letter ever written, according to Ripley's, was written in 1875. It was written by a Parisian painter by the name of Marcel Delecure. The letter was addressed to Magdalena de Villery. The painter was, so smitten and so much in love with Magdalena that he wanted to write, "Je t'aime," "Oh, I love you." He wanted to write it in French 1,000 times for every year on the calendar. This was, thankfully for him, only 1875. So he decided to write, I love you, 1,875,000 times. No joke. Real deal.
Of course, you know, he really might have had a bit of writer's cramp, so he didn't really want to write I love you that many times all by himself, so he hired a secretary to do it. But he did not want the fact that the secretary was writing it to diminish his expression of love, so he did not tell her to write the sentence 1,875,000 times. Rather, here he gets the gold star. Rather, he dictated each I love you to her separately. So he said, I love you 1,875,000 times. And so she wrote it 1,875,000 times.
Ripley describes this feat like this. Was love made manifest by as great an expenditure of time and effort. Some would think that perhaps he could have spent his time more wisely, but there is no question of his sincerity. It's a great story, but Ripley was wrong. He was wrong. There was once a time when love was made manifest by a greater expenditure of effort than this Frenchman. It was that time when our Lord Jesus hung on a cross to show us how important we are to God, to show us how much he loves us. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command. This is my command, love each other. I'm telling you right now, the golden rule is great. It's a great rule to live by. We share it. Oft times, but it is insufficient for the task that Jesus has given us in John's gospel. The command that he provides us with, the thing that we are supposed to be about doing, because he says, what is your job, church? What is your job, people? Your job is to produce fruit. What is the first fruit that you're supposed to produce? Love. We said we could work a while on just making sure we get that one. Of course, patience comes down the road a bit, so maybe we could spend a little bit more time on the love end. Working on that, that is a fruit of the Spirit that God wants us to produce. We are not simply to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. We are to do unto others as Christ has done unto us. It's a tall order. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's a command from the mouth of the Lord Jesus himself. I want to thank every person that's here today that loves anyone. For mothers that love their children. For people within the confines of the faith community that love each other. God is good. He wants us to love. Let's remember that this day and every day till Jesus comes. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. Speak to us, Lord. Help us to live by your standard, as difficult as it is. Lord, we're never going to arrive, but that doesn't mean that we ought not work as hard as we can to get as far as we can. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn in our hymnals again to our close.